little bit of a late start on fellowship meal days because things always need to be done. But we're now in our 22nd week of looking at the life of Abraham. Last week we began looking at Genesis chapter 18, which you'll remember is the sixth major time that the Lord appears to Abraham. The Lord's appearance to Abraham in Genesis 18 comes at the heels of the Lord's appearance to Abraham in Genesis chapter 17. And remember, we said that chapter 18 shares a lot of the same uniqueness in the Lord's appearance to Abram as chapter 15 and chapter 17. Because again, we have a very long word from the Lord to Abraham. Genesis 18 fills 33 verses, and the Lord's appearance covers the entire chapter. Once again, we have Abraham interacting with the Lord with this back and forth. And we're going to see a lot of this back and forth in the coming weeks, not today, but as we continue. And third, the word of the Lord here is also unique in its tangibility. Remember, we said the Lord connects his word with the physical in these last three appearances. And in this case, the Lord connects his word with physical men who physically eat, physically walk, and are set to go to a physical city. But even more unique to Genesis 18 that we've never seen before in the Lord's appearance to Abraham is we see that not only does Abraham experienced the appearance of the Lord and interact with the Lord. But this time, the Lord's appearance to Abraham was physically observed by Abraham's household and Abraham's wife Sarah, who not only observe this interaction, Sarah herself interacts and engages with the Lord herself. So we've divided Genesis 18 into two parts, or to two sections, or two scenes. And last week we looked at the first part, or the first scene in Genesis 18, 1 through 16, and that was under the heading, The Visit of the Lord. And Genesis 18 focuses on the first half on the details of this unexpected visit from these mysterious visitors. And we saw that the focus from verse 1 is on one particular visitor, specifically identified as the Lord, that is God himself, identified by his covenant-keeping name. And the Lord appeared to Abraham physically as a man, accompanied by two other physical, observable men who are identified for us in Genesis 19 as angels when they go into the city of Sodom. Abraham welcomes them eagerly. He's not really knowing who these visitors really are. Abraham serves them quickly, abundantly, humbly. But it is only when these visitors speak that Abraham comes to realize that he's being visited by the Lord himself. And the words of these visitors, from the very moment they open their mouths, they focus on Sarah, Abraham's wife. And these visitors ask, remember, a very simple question. Where is Sarah, your wife? These strangers know the name of his wife, Sarah. They know the new name that God Almighty told Abraham to call his wife, Sarai, in the previous chapter. That was in connection with God's eternal covenant promises to make her, that is Sarah, the free woman, the mother of the descendants who would partake in the Abrahamic covenant generally, all of them, and the mother of the son of promise, Isaac particularly. So here the visitors ask, where is Sarah? In other words, where is this mother of the descendants of God's eternal covenant? And the visitors revealed themselves to be privy or have an understanding of the word of God and the covenant promises. And the question, where is Sarah your wife, we said, is not more than her physical location of where is she located. The Lord knew where she was physically located. It was where was Sarah in relation to the word or the promise of the Lord. And we see that the Lord knew that Sarah was listening at the tent door. That's evidenced by verse 12. In light of what happened, remember, in the previous chapter, in chapter 17, where Abraham had already called her name Sarah and had no doubt told her why I'm now suddenly calling you Sarah instead of Sarai, which I've called you for the past 90 years. The word of God had come to him, to the promise to bless her, that is Sarah, to make her, Sarah, the mother of nations, and kings of people would come from her, and she would bear a son, and his name would be Isaac, and it would happen this time next year. And you'll recall that Abraham, when he first heard this news in chapter 17, he kind of wavered in his faith. he had trouble believing it. He laughed in his heart. He tried to assert Ishmael as the son of promise. And the Lord told Abraham, no. No. Abraham accepted the word of the Lord, and he believed the word of the Lord, and that was evidenced by his immediate obedience to the word of the Lord at the end of chapter 17. But the question now is, where is Sarah? Did she believe? Where is she at? And last week we saw that she had the exact same reaction that Abraham did. She laughed in her heart, and she questioned how two old people could have a baby. But the Lord revealed Himself in His words when He revealed that He knew what Sarah was doing. He knew Sarah completely. He knew her heart. And He knew that she laughed in her heart, and He knew the Lord, that is, He knew Himself, when He said, is anything too difficult for the Lord? And He reiterated the promises of the Lord in Genesis chapter 17, at the appointed time I will return to you, this time next year, and Sarah will have a son. So the first scene ends with the departure of the visitors in verse 16. It says, then the men rose up from there, looked down toward Sodom, and Abraham was walking with them to send them off. So it was these visitors who decided when the visit was done. They arose, they had said their piece, they had fulfilled the purpose of their visit, and then the visitors' aim was toward Sodom, a city that we know about from Genesis chapter 13, when Abraham and Lot separated from each other. And there in Genesis chapter 13, verse 13, we read about Sodom, which said, now the men of Sodom were wicked exceedingly and sinners against the Lord. So the men, an appearance of righteous angels and the righteous and holy Lord, were looking towards a city filled with men that were exceedingly wicked and sinners against the Lord, and they were moving towards it. When fire, we said last week, when fire moves towards chaff, we know what happens to the chaff. It burns up. So is the wickedness or sin in the presence of the Holy One of Israel. And these visitors were then accompanied by Abraham. And again, this shows the importance of the guests, Abraham's desire to have their company for as long as possible. But it also shows Abraham begins to see where these visitors are going. And Abraham sees who these visitors are, and Abraham accompanies them knowing that they're going to a place where someone that he loves and cares about is residing, Lot, his nephew. So he follows them not only for the love of them, but he accompanies them for the love of Lot, as we're going to see in the coming weeks. So verse 16 marks the end of the visit of the Lord with Abraham at the Oaks of Mamre. That's one scene. And verse 17 and on records a different scene where Abraham is walking with the Lord towards Sodom and then standing alone with Him. Abraham is literally doing right now what the Lord commanded him to do at the beginning of Genesis chapter 17, if you want to look back there really quickly, when the Lord had just appeared to him before this visit. And he said, he identified himself, remember, for the first time by name. He said, I am God Almighty. I am El Shaddai. I am the All-Sufficient One. Walk before me and be blameless. So Abraham here is literally walking with the Lord and going in His, that is the Lord's way, before standing before Him and daring to speak on behalf of his nephew, though Abraham never names him. He never says Lot's name. And this is the theme of the second scene. The theme of the second section found in Genesis 18 is the way of the Lord. And that makes the heading of our second section, or Roman numeral 2. And in our section this morning, the way, we see this way of the Lord. But the way of the Lord is more than a literal direction, just as to walk with the Lord means more than just literally walking with Him as Abraham was doing here. Let's read again. Let's read Genesis 18, verses 17 to 33, and then ask the Lord to bless our time in His Word. I'll start in verse 16. Then the men rose up from there and looked down toward Sodom, and Abraham was walking with them to send them off. The Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do, since Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed? For I have chosen him, so that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him. And the Lord said, the outcry of Sodom and Gomorrah is indeed great, and their sin is exceedingly grave. I will go down now and see if they have done entirely according to its outcry, which has come to me, and if not, I will know. Then the men turned away from there and went towards Sodom, while Abraham was still standing before the Lord. Abraham came near and said, will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you indeed sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous and the wicked are treated alike. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth deal justly? So the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare the whole place on their account. And Abraham replied, now behold, I have ventured to speak to the Lord, although I am but dust and ashes. Suppose the 50 righteous are lacking 5. Will you destroy the whole city because of 5? And he said, I will not destroy it if I find 45 there. He spoke to him yet again and said, suppose 40 are found there. And he said, I will not do it on account of the 40. Then he said, oh, may the Lord not be angry, and I shall speak. Suppose 30 are found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, now behold, I have ventured to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are found there. And he said, I will not destroy it on account of the 20. Then he said, oh, may the Lord not be angry, and I shall speak only this once. Suppose 10 are found there. And he said, I will not destroy it on account of the 10. As soon as he had finished speaking to Abraham, the Lord departed, and Abraham returned to his place. Let's pray. O Lord, we also long to walk with you as Abraham walked with you. Our heart's desire is to walk in your way, to keep your way, to teach our children and households to keep your way. Please do not hide from us what you are doing and what you have done. Please open our eyes that we may see the truth of your word and give us the faith to walk in it, that we, and we pray this in the name of the one who is the truth, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, so we're in the way of the Lord. The second scene of Genesis 18 itself can be divided into three parts itself. First, in verses 17 to 19, the Lord's words highlight a people chosen to keep the way of the Lord for their blessing. A people chosen to keep the way of the Lord for their blessing. That's what we're going to go over this week. In the coming weeks, we're going to look at how this is contrasted with the second part in verses 20 through 22, where the Lord's words highlight a city crying against the way of the Lord for judgment. And then third, we'll look at verses 23 through 33, where in accordance with the way of the Lord, Abraham pleads the way of the Lord for the blessing of those that are under judgment. But this week, again, we're only going to get through the first section, a people chosen to keep the way of the Lord for their blessing, verses 17 through 19. And this section begins with the word of the Lord as Abraham is walking with his visitors towards Sodom to send them off. And this word of the Lord comes in a question and in an answer. But both the question and the answer focus on Abraham and the way of the Lord. First, let's look at the question. The first part of Genesis 18:17 tells us, the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? So your point under the number one is a question about Abraham regarding the way of the Lord. Notice first that the question is focused on Abraham. The Lord's last questions and statements back at Abraham's tent earlier in the chapter were to Abraham, but about Sarah. Now the Lord directs his questions not to Abraham, but it is about Abraham this time. Instead, it appears that the Lord is directing his question about Abraham to someone else. And the context seems to suggest that this question is directed to the other men revealed to be angels in the next chapter who are accompanying the Lord. Or, some commentators suggest, that the Lord is speaking to Himself. Scripture here is then allowing us a peek into the Lord's inner motivation and thoughts. The subject of the question, though, is not Abraham or the Lord, but rather the subject of this question is the way of the Lord. Look at it again. The question is this: shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Or in other words, shall I hide from Abraham my way? That's the subject of his question here. And in this little question, the Lord reveals three things about the way of the Lord, or His way. And the first thing is that His way is hidden. Hidden. The question is, shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? What does that tell us? That Abraham did not know what the Lord was about to do. The Lord's way was hidden to Abraham, and if Abraham would know the way of the Lord would have to reveal that to Abraham. The Hebrew word here for hide is translated everywhere else in Genesis with this word, cover, to cover. Every other time it's used in Genesis. What the Lord was about to do was covered from Abraham's perspective. Abraham couldn't see it. Listen, this is a truth about the way of the Lord. It is hidden to men, and if we would know the Lord, and if we would know the way of the Lord, then the Lord must reveal Himself, and the Lord must reveal His way. Listen to Psalm 25. I'm going to just read 4 through 14, where the psalmist prays. This is what he cries: make me know Your ways, O Lord. Teach me Your paths. Lead me in Your truth and teach me, for You are the God of my salvation. For You I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, Your compassion and Your loving kindness, for they have been of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to Your loving kindness, remember me for Your goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, He instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in justice, and He teaches the humble His way. All the paths of the Lord are loving kindness and truth to those who keep His covenant and His testimonies. For Your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Who is the man who fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way he should choose. His soul will abide in prosperity, and his descendants will inherit the land. The secret, I think hidden things, the secret of the Lord is for those who fear Him, and He will make them know His covenant. All right, that's just a synopsis of the psalmist. The same thing that is true today and was true for Abraham. The Lord has revealed Himself, and the Lord has revealed His way ultimately in Himself, in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom, remember, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, describes Jesus as the radiance of His glory, that is, the Father's glory, and the exact representation of His nature. Jesus Christ is the ultimate revelation of God and the ultimate revelation of His way. And in Romans 1, verse 17, Paul is making the argument that he's not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why does he say? For in it the righteousness of God is what? Revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous shall live by faith. So that revelation is connected with faith, belief in the Word of God. The righteous man lives by faith in the revealed Word of God, in the revealed way of the Lord. This has been and always will be the only way for a man to be blessed. And Scripture makes it clear from the beginning to end, from beginning to end, that the way of the Lord is not revealed to everyone, but it is only revealed to a particular group. That is, those whom the Lord wills to reveal Himself to. That's the standard of that group. Nothing else. Luke 10, verse 21. At that very time, he rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit and said, I praise you, O Father, this is the Lord Jesus speaking, I praise you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this way was well-pleasing in your sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. So you see, this particularized group to whom the Lord reveals is not based upon who you are, where you come from, what you do, what your work is. It depends on one thing. What? The will of the Father and the will of the Son. John 15, verses 14 through 15. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Again, the words of our Lord Jesus. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. So when the Lord does reveal to you, he doesn't reveal halfway. He doesn't reveal bits and pieces. He reveals all things in his word to you. You see, you can't partake of the blessing of what is hidden apart from coming in faith to the one who reveals. That's Jesus Christ. You can't live apart from the one who is the light. You can't know the way of the Lord apart from the one who is who? The way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. That's why when he called himself the way, that was such a profound statement, especially to the Jewish people who were steeped in the law and the prophets and heard day in and day out about the way of the Lord and walking in his way. And Jesus says, I'm the way. In our passage this morning, the Lord is asking whether he will hide his way from the Abraham, the man of faith, and the answer is going to be an obvious no. It is almost a rhetorical question, as we're going to see in the upcoming answer. The fact that the Lord eventually reveals what he is about to do confirms to us that Abraham is his servant and that Abraham is a prophet. Why do I say that? Listen to Amos 3:7. Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret counsel to his servants, the prophets. So the Lord keeps his people in the loop, per se, about his way and what he is doing and what he will do. He does not have to do that for us. But he does do it. And he did it for Abraham. And he's done it for you in his word. Aren't we seeing that on Sunday morning as Dean is preaching about what will happen? He's keeping us in the loop. And what he is going to do leads to our next point about the way of the Lord. The Lord's way, secondly, is sure. It is sure. Back to the question the Lord says, shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Now, obviously, we know from this little statement that the Lord is going to do something. The question about whether or not the Lord should hide what he would do from Abraham had nothing to do with whether or not he would do what he was going to do. The Lord would do his way. That is sure. And the Lord's way is sure. The Lord will do it. Isaiah 46:10, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things which have not been, saying, my purpose will be established, and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man of my purpose from a far country, truly I have spoken. Truly I will bring it to pass. I have planned it. Surely I will do it. Another example, Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Now, it is the very sure way of the Lord revealed in his sure word, which may change men who are blessed and walk in his way. Psalm 19:7 says this for us. The law of the Lord is perfect. It restores the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The sureness of the Lord is what changes us. And the Lord reveals Himself, the Lord Himself makes sure the way of those who walk in His sure way. So that sureness is translated to those people who trust in Him. Proverbs 21:29 tells us that a wicked man displays a bold face, like he's tough. But as for the upright, Scripture says, he makes his way sure. There is no wisdom and no understanding and no counsel against the Lord. The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but victory belongs to the Lord. So the Lord's sure way is a comfort and it is a protection to his people. Proverbs 19:21 tells us that many are the plans of a man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord is sure, will stand. So that's the second thing that this little question tells us about the way of the Lord. The third thing is that the way of the Lord is imminent. Imminent. I-M-M-I-N-E-N-T. Imminent just means that it's about to happen. Is that not what the Lord says in this question? Look back at the question. Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? So the way of the Lord is not only sure, it's going to happen, but it's imminent in that it is fast approaching. It's at the door. It's coming soon. And now we have not gotten there yet, but we know what the Lord's about to do. The Lord's about to answer this great outcry of sin, and this is the way of the Lord. The Lord's righteous way is to bring justice and to bring righteousness to sin and to wickedness. Abraham knew of the last time that the Lord responded to a great outcry of wickedness. The Lord brought the great flood. The Lord's judgment of the wicked is not only coming, it is imminent for every man, because every man at every moment is a moment, a breath away from death. And even if a man lived to be 100 years old, Scripture tells us that his life is like a vapor in the air. It's like a flower or a grass or some type of plant. It's here one moment and it's gone the next. But it is not just the Lord's word regarding judgment that is imminent, that is fast approaching, that is soon here. It's the Lord's word of promise for his people that is imminent. It will not only surely be accomplished, but it's coming quickly. And this is an encouragement to us and to anyone who puts their trust in the Lord and who seek to walk in His way. It's easier for us to endure a hardship when you see that the end of the hardship is fast approaching. 2 Corinthians 4 tells us that right now, don't lose heart, even though your outer man is decaying. Your inner man, Scripture says, is being renewed day by day. And it says this in verse 17, for momentary light affliction is producing in us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. This is a momentary light affliction. 1 Peter 1, 6 through 9 says, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. Why? So that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And though you do not see Him now, but believe in Him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible, full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. Look, this is a momentary light affliction. The Lord's promises are imminent. And the Lord Jesus Christ Himself said to us in Revelation, behold, or look, I am coming quickly. And my reward is with me to render every man according to what he has done. The way of the Lord, when everyone and everything will be in submission to His will and in submission to His word, when every knee will bow, when every tongue will confess that He is their Lord and Master, that day is coming quickly. And it is only the people of faith who have already bent the knee to Jesus Christ, who have already confessed Him as Lord, who are already walking in His way. It's only those that are ready. It's only those who are going to live. But it is those who are not walking in His way, who are not people of faith in the Word of God will find that they're not ready and that their doom is quickly upon them. Now, just as soon as the Lord asked this question about Abraham regarding the way of the Lord goes on to give an answer about Abraham regarding the way of the Lord as well, which explains why he will not hide from Abraham what he's about to do. So that leads to our next point under a people chosen to keep the way of the Lord for their blessing. Number two, an answer about Abraham regarding the way of the Lord. So the Lord here again immediately answers his own question, explaining why he will reveal the way of the Lord to Abraham by highlighting three aspects about his relationship to Abraham. And they start each one with since, for, and so that. That's kind of our key phrases to know that we're talking about different things. So this is important to us not only because it tells us how the Lord relates to Abraham, but more specifically or more importantly, Scripture affirms here in this section to us to whom the Lord reveals His way. Who is the type of person that the Lord reveals His way to and reveals Himself to? Why do we care about this? Because we not only want, but we need the Lord to reveal, as we've already said, His way to us if we are going to live. We need that. So that's why it should be interesting to us. As we go through these three statements that the Lord makes, which state the reason, again, that He will reveal His way to Abraham, notice that they all relate to the Lord's relationship to Abraham and what the Lord has done and what the Lord will do for Abraham, not the other way around. So let's look at it in a little more detail. We first see that the Lord will reveal His way to Abraham since the Lord blessed Abraham. The Lord blessed Abraham. This reveal is revealed in verse 18. So let's read that. We'll read the lead in verse 17 too. The Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Since Abraham will surely become a great nation, great and mighty nation, and in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed." So here we have the first reason that the Lord will reveal Himself and His way to Abraham. And it seems to focus on Abraham, but these statements immediately take us back to Genesis chapter 12, where, remember, the Lord said to Abraham, when Abraham was still in Haran, He said, "Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed." So when we read in our passage the first reason that the Lord will reveal Himself and His way to Abraham, that He'll surely become a great nation and a mighty nation, and that in Him all the nations of the earth will be blessed, we know, and Abraham knew, it was because the Lord had promised to make Abraham a great nation, and that the Lord had promised to bless Abraham, and the Lord had promised that in Abraham all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And the Lord promised to bless Abraham in the context of covenant, remember. We can't separate those two. So we see first that the Lord reveals His way to those that the Lord has blessed with His promise in the context of covenant. If you would know the way of the Lord, you must be a recipient of His blessing. You must be a recipient of His blessing in the context of the covenant that the Lord Himself ordained and the Lord Himself wrought by His power alone. And the covenant that He has provided for us today is in Himself. The difference, that was the same for Abraham though too, in that the covenant that He has provided for Himself for us today is the life is faith. Faith in the Word of God alone. But the only difference between Abraham and us is that the Lord has revealed who His living Word is. Abraham didn't know it was going to be Jesus Christ, but he expected the Messiah, the Anointed One. The Messiah, anointed one, has come and has given his life as a ransom for many. And Abraham looked forward to that, but we look back at that. So those to whom the Lord reveals his way must be part of that blessing. They must be part of that covenant. Those that are not, those that go their own way, are blind to the way of the Lord. Those that are outside the covenant of the Lord are blind to his way. They don't see it and they don't care about it. The second reason that the Lord will reveal his way to Abraham is similar to the first and explains why the Lord blessed Abraham. It says, "For the Lord chose Abraham." Let's keep reading in verse 19. It goes on to say, "For I have chosen him." We'll stop there. Why will the Lord reveal his way to Abraham? Why has the Lord blessed Abraham? Why has the Lord entered into covenant with Abraham for his life and for his good and for those of his descendants? There's one reason, and that's it. For I have chosen him. It was not anything to do with Abraham. It was not where Abraham was from. He was from a pagan land that worshipped the moon. It was not who Abraham was. He didn't do anything special. He was a pagan himself. It was not anything that he had done. It was not anything he would do. It was nothing about Abraham. It was simply because the Lord chose him. Now, why did the Lord choose Abraham? One reason, it was the Lord's good pleasure to do so. That's it. If you are a person of faith this morning, the same is true of you. Why has the Lord revealed his way to you? Why has the Lord blessed you? Why has the Lord entered into covenant with you to grant you salvation through faith in Jesus Christ and his work alone? And there's one reason, guys. For I have chosen you. That's it. Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 6 said, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. Now, if the Lord chose you before the foundation of the world, how much did you have to do with that choice? And the answer is zero. You had nothing to do with that choice. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 through 14 says, "But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord." Why? Because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. It was for this that he called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Think about that. The Lord chose you from the beginning for salvation. Why? That you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's an amazing thought, isn't it? We had nothing to do with the Lord's choice of us. Nothing. And we need to beware, friends, of making more of ourselves than we ought, especially in our salvation. Yes, our Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life for you out of love for you, his enemy. But that should make us extol Jesus Christ and not ourselves. If you flip on WCRF, you're going to hear many popular Christian songs that get that flipped around, where the song is mostly about you and how this is what he did for you, because you and you and you and you and have a better attitude about yourself. You're okay. You. Guys, we need to flip that off because it's poison. We need to tell our kids why that's not necessarily true. Yes, he loves us. Yes, he downed his life for us.
but it's not about you. It's about him. The Lord blessed Abraham. The Lord chose Abraham for a stated purpose. And friend, if you belong to Jesus Christ this morning, you also have been blessed. You also have been chosen for a specific purpose, and that purpose is revealed in our next point. Our third and final reason that the Lord will reveal His way to Abraham comes with two "so that" phrases. The first "so that" focuses on what Abraham may do, and the second "so that" phrase is focused on what the Lord may do. And this is "so that," but the heading is "the Lord faithful to Abraham." The Lord faithful to Abraham. This "may" is not in terms of might, like I may go to McDonald's tonight, or I might not, I don't know. This "may" is rather in terms of being able to do something. So, once I get a driver's license, I may now drive a car legally on the roads around us. That allows me to be able to do that. So let's read again verse 19 and look at the two "so that's." "For I have chosen him so that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him." So number one, we have "so that Abraham may be faithful." So that Abraham may be faithful. Let's start with that first "so that." Obviously, the first "so that" is about Abraham, even though it says "he." That's who the Lord has been talking about this whole time. And here the Lord states that He chose Abraham so that Abraham may command his children and his household after him to do what? To keep the way of the Lord. How do we keep the way of the Lord? By doing righteousness and justice. So the Lord will reveal His way to Abraham because the Lord's blessing is upon Abraham in entering into covenant with Abraham, based only upon the Lord God's pleasure in choosing Abraham for the purpose, or so that Abraham may, or is then able to, command and teach his people, his children, and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord. That's the only thing that makes Abraham able to do that. And the way of the Lord is to do righteousness and justice. We cannot keep the way of the Lord. We cannot do anything righteous. We cannot do anything just apart from the Lord's blessing and apart from the Lord's covenant or apart from the Lord's sovereign choice to save you. It's impossible. Apart from the Lord, we keep our own way, and that everything we do is marked by sin and wickedness. Everything. It is impossible for us to do anything righteous or just. The message of Scripture is clear. Listen to Romans 3, 10 through 18. "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good. No, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes." This is a description of everyone apart from Jesus Christ. But praise the Lord, He's not left us in this state. He offers that blessing that we need. He offers that way that we need. He offers Himself to those who would enter into covenant with Him, a covenant that He has wrought by His power, by and through His Son, Jesus Christ. If we keep reading in Romans 3, if we go to verse 21, it goes on to tell us, "But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe." There's no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation or satisfaction by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, so that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. That's it. Listen, do you want to teach your children and your household to keep the way of the Lord? According to Scripture this morning that we've read, what enables you to do that? What? The Lord Himself. The Lord Himself must change you. The Lord must work in your life. You must be walking in His way. Do you want to do righteousness and justice? I know I do. Part of my job. It is only possible by and through the righteous one and the just one. When you have died to yourself and when you live to Jesus Christ, that's the only context in which that's going to happen. Put it another way, you may only be faithful to the Lord as He grants you faith and is faithful to you. And that leads us to the second, so that. So that the Lord may be faithful. So that the Lord may be faithful. Verse 19. So that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what He has spoken about him. Alright, so this is focused on Abraham. What the Lord will bring upon Abraham. The Lord will reveal His way to Abraham so that the Lord may be faithful to His word of promise. The Lord will bless Abraham in covenant so that the Lord may be faithful to His word of promise. The Lord has chosen Abraham to live so that the Lord may be faithful to His promise. The Lord's always going to be faithful to His promise. That's why. But the same is true of you. Listen, Christian, the Lord will reveal His way to you so that He may be faithful to His word of promise. The Lord will bless you in covenant so that the Lord will be faithful to His word of promise. And the Lord has chosen you to live so that the Lord would be faithful to His promise. It's on the Lord. It's for His glory, not yours. You don't keep yourself. You don't keep yourself. The Lord keeps you. Your faith is not kept by your effort. But your faith is kept. And your faith is sustained by the faithfulness of the one who gave you the gift of faith in the first place. And it is a gift to you if you have received that gift of faith that Scripture tells us no one and nothing can take away from you. That's an encouragement to us, isn't it, when we feel like we have very small and weak faith, and we often do. When we fail, like Abraham fell, and he's about to fall in a few more chapters, when he does the same thing with Abimelech that he did with Pharaoh about his wife, steps in it again. Abraham, here we see, is the father of a people chosen to keep the way of the Lord for their blessing. And the question that we have to ask ourselves as we come to Scripture today is, are we among that people? Are you among that people? Are you those who are of the faith of Abraham? Galatians 3:9 tells us clearly, so then those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham the believer. Abraham was a believer. If you are blessed with Abraham the believer, know this morning, the Lord will reveal to you His way because He has blessed you in Jesus Christ. The Lord will reveal to you His way because He has chosen you in Jesus Christ. And the Lord will bless you, will reveal His way to you, so that you may teach your children and your household to keep the way of Jesus Christ, and so that the Lord will show Himself to be faithful to you in Jesus Christ. Isn't that neat how the same thing that applies to Abraham applies to you? And it's right there in Scripture, right before us. We just kind of have to dig a little bit, and not even that much. Next week, we're going to look at the crying out against the way of the Lord for judgment. So we have this comparison that we're going to have. People of the Lord, the way of the Lord for blessing, and now we're looking at the other side of it. And then we're going to look at the response of the believer. Abraham has this plea in accordance with the way of the Lord for the blessing of those who are being judged. All right, we're out of time, so let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for your faithfulness to us. When we look at the blessings upon blessings upon blessings that you heap upon the heads of your children, it is just a wonder to us. We thank you that we are not kept by our own efforts. We thank you that we are not chosen because of anything about us. We thank you that you are God and that there is no other, and you accomplish all your ways and your purposes. Your word is sure. Please accomplish that sure word in the hearts of the men and women, boys and girls who are here at this church and your people throughout the world. We pray this in the name of your Son, who is the way that we seek to walk in, and the truth that we long to cling to, and the light that we long to be a part of. Amen.